Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. It's always a pleasure to welcome our next guest. It is the mayor of Mississippi Mills, Krista Lowry. Krista, welcome back to Lake 88.
Well, thanks for having me again, Bob.
Again, thank you for taking part in our election night coverage. And it's interesting. Some of my favorite moments in broadcasting have come from those election shows that we've done. There was one time when Dennis Staples was the outgoing mayor of Smiths Falls, and we had him on. Just as the results were coming in, so we actually had the former mayor of Smiths Falls announcing who the new mayor of Smiths Falls was going to be, which I thought was really interesting. And then another one that I count up there is just so happened that we had our new MPP on while we were speaking with you. And then you got to have a first conversation with John Jordan, and I prompted you to make some demands, which you sort of held back on. But nonetheless, that was a very neat moment. So thank you so much for being a part of that night.
Well, it was really something to be part of that. And I, as I had said that night, I'm really excited to be having a voice at Queen's Park, and that there'll be a voice for our residents, and we'll have an ally that we can work with. I think all of those things are so essential, and you know, I've been missing the last couple of years. So so maybe my demands right off the top are gentle, because I'm just so excited to have a voice there at Queen's Park.
You know, and they always say it doesn't necessarily mean a lot if your MPP is a member of government and so on, and they say it shouldn't reflect on that. But I mean, having someone who is with the government as your MPP, they have the ear of several people. And, you know, we haven't had that ear for many years, and even when the Liberals were in power as well. So we had a brief taste of it before things happened. But now with John Jordan in that seat, I think there's a lot of optimism around among people who didn't even vote for him. Just the fact that we have that voice that you refer to.
You're absolutely right. There are benefits to having your own representative be part of government. Now, there are benefits too to having your voice being the opposition. You know, that is a powerful position too in other ways. But you're absolutely right. Having someone who is in power and will hopefully have the ear of cabinet and the premier. There's certainly benefits to that, and not one that is familiar to our area, at least not in the last number of years.
Yeah, and you know, we'll move on from this in just a second, but certainly with Mr. Jordan's history with healthcare and the healthcare needs, it's one of the top issues that is always brought up in this riding in particular. It's big across the whole province and the country, but in this riding in particular, when you're looking at an influx of people to the communities where now you need more physicians, you need to be able to provide more care, you need a more variety of care as the population ages as well. So there's all these different things. I think he's kind of a really good fit for this riding with the experience that he has, even though he's a rookie MPP.
I couldn't agree more. And I think he's got a lot of really good relationships too. You know, of course you ask around and how do people feel about him and that kind of thing. When Mr. Jordan's name when he first put his name forward, he has a lot of connections with those folks who are working very hard to make sure the primary care is in place, that our hospitals are functioning well, that, you know, mental health supports are in place, and he's very well aware and has been involved in all of those pieces for years. So in some ways there couldn't be a better ally for us to be trying to move forward some of those concerns and finding solutions for them. So I'm optimistic. I think a lot of people are optimistic and looking forward to working with our new MPP.
Yeah, he's certainly well respected, that's for sure. We wanted to touch on, I'm going to call it storm recovery. And I guess, you know, really that's what it is, because Mississippi Mills was one of the hardest hit areas in our listening area in Lanark, Leeds and Grenville when the powerful storms, excuse me, broke through on the weekend of the May long weekend. You just had some incredible damage. What was it like initially seeing all that damage?
Honestly, Bob, I felt like I was in a movie. I live just in Elmont, about 5 minutes from our family farm, and you know, I knew my brother was going to be away for the day, and as soon as it was safe to get out and get on the road, I, you know, booked it out to the farm just to make sure things were okay and help set up the generator and things like that if needed. And driving down Highway 29, like it's not a far drive from where I am, but I was just gobsmacked at what I was seeing. It was like being in a movie or being transplanted down in Tornado Alley or something, seeing 35 or 40 poles just snapped over like matchsticks. There was a number of the farms you couldn't even get into because of how the lines had come down. And it was just unbelievable. Like, we don't see that up here. We're really fortunate that we don't have those kinds of, or haven't had those kinds of storms. Now, I mean, knock on wood, I hope that what they're saying today isn't going to turn out to be anything. But it was just incredible to see that. And I do have to say as well, incredible that we didn't have loss of life, loss of livestock. There's certainly, for the damage that we saw, the damage to the grid, we were very fortunate that we didn't have more serious long-lasting impact. And certainly there were people lost in other communities surrounding us. So I want to acknowledge that and how fortunate we were that it wasn't worse than it was.
I think, when you look back at events like this, like the ice storm, everyone always talks about it, and there's a reason. It's a moment in history. There are certain images that just pop into your mind. For me, with the ice storm, it's those massive power relay towers just crumpled over, like they were made out of tinfoil. For this particular storm, whenever I think of that storm, those power poles that you're talking about snap like matchsticks. Hydro One released a picture just to show the extent of the damage, and that it's seared into my brain. And as soon as you say, okay, well, the power's out and so on and so forth, but then you start to see these images come out and they're saying, what? It's going to be out for days. And then you see the images and you're like, it's going to be out for days. Yeah. They were incredible in rebuilding a power system, really, and in rebuilding a major line that runs between Mississippi Mills and Carlton Place. Just the effort put forth by the crews was just amazing. You must be so grateful.
Oh, absolutely. And it was really kind of shocking that most of the town of Almont and much of Pakenham Village was up, within 8, 10, 12 hours. And that's just how the grid works. And ORPC is the provider in Almont too, which was part of that resilience that allowed some people to get back on sooner than others. But it was just incredible to watch how quickly the crews moved in. And I don't want to estimate it and get it wrong, but I'm
Yeah.
sure there was four or five hydro crews out there working at one time between Elmont and Carlton Place, as you say. And it was just incredible how quickly they got the line back up. Because it wasn't two or three, it was probably 35 or 40 poles we're talking about. Like, it was an incredible amount of work for them to try to get that reestablished. And it is the line that feeds into Carlton Place, which we know was out for much longer than some of the other towns. But it was incredible. I understand the damage to the grid was more impactful, more serious than in the ice storm. We were just really fortunate that it was moderate weather, or it wasn't winter, it wasn't hot days of summer, so we could tolerate not having
Yeah.
air conditioning, not having heat. It was easy to be outside barbecuing your dinner, that kind of thing. So we were really fortunate that the impacts to ourselves in daily life was not as challenging as during the ice storm. But it was just amazing to watch those hydro crews get the lines back up as quickly as they did.
And I want to give you an opportunity to speak about the municipality because, yeah, we talk about the hydro crews and so on, but the municipal crews and the county crews. Just out working nonstop as well, right? Like, I mean, obviously, hydro is the one that people refer to because it's very, it's out there, and so many people had this indicator, their power is off, and then all of a sudden their power is on. Thank you, hydro crews. But when you talk about the cleanup and recovery around your communities, the effort there by the municipal workers and the county workers, just incredible.
Absolutely. And actually, Bob, we had our debrief earlier this week in Mississippi Mills with the emergency control group. And given the floods we had in 2019 and what we've had in the last couple of years with the pandemic, our readiness is very strong, I guess is probably the best way to put it. So our emergency group, we do meet quite regularly. It's often every couple of weeks just to touch base and discuss different items, prepare for various things. And we know it's not a matter of if something happens, it's really a matter of when something happens. So it does give me a lot of confidence knowing that that group is ready to go. And there's our internal group. And then there's the our own group that goes and discusses or reaches out to ORPC or Hydro or Public Health Unit or the hospitals or, you know, any number of other organizations. But, you know, it was within the hour of the storm hitting on that Saturday that the emergency group was already already up and communicating with ourselves. We had a meeting held. The operations manager was fantastic and had his crews out before we even had our communication happening amongst the emergency group. Operations were already out there clearing trees and whatnot. And on the long weekend, right? You know, this is not what people are expecting to do. So they're coming back in from the cottage and whatever else. And some of them having to, you know, cut their way to the municipal facility because of the way trees were down and whatnot. And it was a really incredible response from our staff. But I felt we were very well prepared because of us meeting regularly, because we've had a number of events already this term. I hope that that's the end of it. I think everybody would like a little bit of reprieve, but I was really very pleased with the response and the dedication of the staff too. Is not only were they helping out what we needed from the municipality standpoint, but they had families at home and problems at home too, just like everybody else. And you know, it was incredible the loyalty, the support, the commitment to public service and to our residents.
Absolutely. And it's like before, when these events would happen, we'd say, okay, what have we learned from this? And now we're basically saying, what are we adding to our knowledge base? Because after what, you know, I've called the least relaxing long weekend in history, you know, it certainly just add to it. And I think that our listeners and residents of Mississippi Mills and the communities around here should take something major away from this, is that, you know, you're ready. Should something happen, you act very quickly, as you said, which is great. So sounds like things are going well as far as the recovery goes, and you continue to learn. I wanted to talk to you about Mississippi Mills too. Why not? I mean, we have you on, and certainly there's quote unquote regular business that has to take place in these municipalities. Very important stuff going on. And I've asked you to provide some of the highlights that residents in your area, and by extension, the visitors, many of us from different parts of Lanark County like to go and visit your corner of the county because it's absolutely gorgeous. What are some of the things going on, Krista?
Well, maybe I'll start with one of the major things that we've been able to accomplish this year. It's not going to be as interesting to the tourists, but certainly to the residents, and that we've really moved forward with our housing support and a few different ways that we're trying to influence the attainability of housing, because it right across the country, it's just an incredible crisis that we're seeing. So we have a housing first pilot that we're trying to see if this is something that we would do with other pieces of municipal land. So it's at 34 Victoria in Elmont, and we're just in the process of signing an MOU with CareBridge Community Support, who the intention is that they would build on that property. So we have a partnership there that's forthcoming. We already had an exemption for development charges in place for nonprofit housing, but we've added to that building and planning exemption on their fees. There's also a cash in lieu of parkland exemption. You know, just really trying to make those housing providers more successful in what they're doing. And then the other piece where we're trying to, you know, influence market housing, because that's just as big a problem as social housing. We do have an affordable housing grant program that's in the works. It's getting developed right now and is going to be in place for 2023. And then also in the process of changing our zoning bylaws to allow for additional residential units. So that change to our bylaw, our zoning bylaw, will be coming forward, you know, end of the summer when we're back after the break. And it's really to encourage rental units in the marketplace, you know, make those affordable and available. But it is a province-wide, it's a national-wide problem, and we all have to be part of part of the solutions on that. So I feel really good about that, that, you know, we've got a little piece that we're trying to help with, but it's going to take absolutely every level of government to try to get ahead of this problem. But I wanted to mention that to you, Bob, and I know there's a few other things happening in some of the other communities in Lanark County. We're all trying and we're all doing the little bit that we can in our own backyards, but there's always going to be more on the housing front.
I love the fact that everyone, you don't necessarily have your, I don't want to say your own approach, but you have your own take on it. You know, there's obviously recurring themes when you're talking about affordable housing primarily. And you're all just coming up with creative ways to make things better. It's not an overnight fix. You know, people would love to see an overnight fix, but that's not going to happen, especially not when you're in an area like Mississippi Mills, Carlton Place, Beckwith, which is those areas where people who've decided they don't want to live in the city anymore. They're going out, they're living, you know, a rural lifestyle, but they want to be within a stone's throw from the big city to do things. So, you know, your communities obviously fit that perfectly. So there's so many challenges going on right now. And I think that's why, because each one is unique to the community and to the part of the county, we'll say in this case, that you all need to come up with these approaches. People may say, well, why isn't it a one size fits all solution? Because, you know, the communities are so different and the needs are so different.
It's just not a cookie cutter thing that will fit for every community. You're right on the money on that.
All right. So what else have you got going on in Mississippi Mills you want our listeners to know about?
Well, you know, I think Mississippi Mills has always been known as a community that has a lot of things going on, you know, community events and festivals and all of that kind of thing. And we've really missed that over the last couple of years with COVID. You know, some of the organizations did figure out ways to go online, like HealthFest had their festival online, which I thought was fantastic. But there's a lot of things that you just can't do online. And certainly it's not the same as, you know, zooming in to see an event. And I'm just thrilled that most of those organizations have got themselves organized. They're bringing in all kinds of volunteers and motivating the community to get involved again. And we're going to have a full suite of festivals and events again this summer. And it's already started. My calendar is more than full. I need 48 hours in a day to try to do it all. But that's just, it's so exciting that all of these events are happening again. And right now, June's Pride Month, and Mississippi Mills Pride and Lanark-wide Pride are very, very active. There's events all month. Lanark Queer Connection is a great place for people to check if they're wanting to see what events are happening in Mississippi Mills and throughout Lanark County. For the municipality, our big party, I guess I would say, is Canada Day. And before that, Canada Day Eve, we have a big party in Pakenham. So we'll be having our parade on the 30th in Pakenham. And if you haven't been, Bob, it goes around twice. So in case you missed something the first time, wait, you see it twice. That's how we do it in Pakenham. Really looking forward to that. And there'll be fireworks that night, music and games and stuff for the kids. And then we do it all over again on Canada Day. There'll be events all day in Almond. It's mostly focused in Gemmell Park in the natural amphitheater there. So music, games, events for the kids, events for the family all day. And then we'll wrap it up with fireworks in the evening. So hopefully we'll have good weather for the 30th and for the 1st. But that'll be sort of our municipal kickoff for the summer. And then right after that, we have KeltFest, first weekend of July, which has always been a really, really favorite one for locals and for tourists who are coming into town. And then a little later in July, the Almont Fair is on, which has been an establishment for well over a century. I think we're at 168 years, if I'm not mistaken. And then Puppets Up is making their return. They have big plans for a couple day event in August, and then the North Lanark Highland Games is going to wrap things up for us in August. They've got a big event planned again in August for us.
Awesome. I was speaking to the organizers of Puppets Up a while ago, and they're sort of echoing the sentiments that you said about how exciting it is to get back in person. I mean, obviously they're taking precautions and we should, I mean, that goes without saying, right? Like any conversation you have about events and so on and so forth, precautions will be in place, plain and simple. But they were so happy to be able to have that interaction again with the people, you know, seeing the smiles on the face instead of just hearing about them. So yeah, and certainly Mississippi Mills is a just so gorgeous a setting for all these festivals. So it sounds like it's going to be really quite the eventful and fun summer. What would you say is the biggest challenge that you're facing in your municipality right now, Krista?
In terms of the events and whatnot?
Well, or whatever. What do you see, you know, as mayor, what do you see as, you know, a big challenge that you're working on with your council?
Well, one of the big challenges is our downtown revitalization. So we're right, you know, at the very beginning of a 2-year project or an 18-month project anyway. And I have to start by giving a lot of credit to the downtown businesses. They've had an incredibly challenging 2 years, and they're taking this challenge on, you know, square. They're great attitudes, and they're working with us on this. But it is a challenge to have your downtown core ripped up, especially after the last 2 years.
I live in Smith Falls, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
I know, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Carlton Place is doing it too. So yeah, you know, we're all getting it done at the same time. But it's being very well managed by the staff. It's Kavanaugh that's doing the work, and we're very pleased to be working with them, of course. But, you know, you're always kind of at the edge of the seat waiting to find out. You know, they're hitting an awful lot of rock right now, and we're hoping that they'll continue to be able to stay on schedule. So far they have. And so far there has been a fair amount of traffic down, foot traffic, I should say, down, being just curious about what construction looks like, continuing to support the businesses. But I'm hoping, and I'm very optimistic that continues, because we want to support those businesses. We want to be patient with the workers as they're doing quite an enormous task. And it's challenging. You know, people still have to go down there to get to the post office and things like that. So it's a very big project. It's been years and years in the coming. So far, things are going well. And I, again, just knock on wood, I hope it stays that way. And folks continue to go down and support those businesses.
I love that the challenge you brought up is a positive, you know, and that's great. It really is. And first and foremost, you know, getting a downtown revitalization project like that off the ground is difficult to begin with. But once it's actually going, then, you know, you're watching it, as you said, you're watching it very closely. You want it to stay on schedule and on budget. And primarily it's so that those businesses can be supported so that they can continue to be, you know, to be strong, because that's the backbone of, you know, of that downtown. And without them, there's nothing. And then secondly, you want it to look really good in all those Christmas movies that get filmed in that area.
Yeah, well, I don't know that we'll look too good in them right now. Maybe I don't know if there's a Hallmark movie about, you know, the construction worker falling in love with the shopkeeper. It's the ideal time. We should pitch them a story, you know?
Yeah, or an apocalyptic Christmas movie, you know, yeah. Something like that. If you're going to do it in Elmont, right?
That's right. We do it all.
Well, and you know, before we let you go, there was we really wanted to make sure that we talk about two special events that are coming up on Saturday. I'll let you explain what they are.
So June is National Indigenous History Month, and as part of the recognition of Indigenous history, we had quite a sobering prelude to Indigenous History Month last year, as we all started to hear about the unmarked graves of hundreds and hundreds, and now we know thousands of Indigenous kids who had gone to residential schools and never came home. So that was, I think, very heartbreaking and very sobering for a lot of folks. And this year, the Mississippi Mills Alumni Relations Group, which they're a group that are working towards reconciliation and looking towards rebuilding relationships between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. They're presenting a food and craft fair, and it's traditional Indigenous foods. There'll be hoop dancing, things like that. And then in the evening, there is a Buskers for Survivors concert, and proceeds from both are going to the survivors of those same residential schools. It's also Tony Belcourt, who is he's got the Order of Canada. He lives here in Mississippi Mills now, and he was the founding president of both the Native Council of Canada and the Métis Nation of Ontario. Anyway, he's an active organizer of the concert as well, and there's some really impressive names on the list that are going to be playing that night. And again, it'll be a mix of Indigenous and non-Indigenous musicians, a lot of folk musicians, kind of roots rock musicians. But I'm really looking forward to going, and I invite anyone listening to come on out. And it's an opportunity to learn, I think, is the first thing. But it's an opportunity to make some new friends, which I think is one of the most important parts of us trying to move towards reconciliation and rebuild those relationships that have been lost over the years. And if anyone is interested in more information, there's lots of information on the All My Relations website, which is www.mm and then allmyrelations.ca. So all one word. And the tickets, you can link from their website, or you can go onto Ticket Please and just look for All My Relations, Buskers for Survivors. Tickets are still available. It's this Saturday at 7:00 at Elmont United Church, which is on Elgin Street. And the food and craft fair is the same location, starting at 1:00, and it runs all afternoon and into the concert. So I'm really hoping we'll have a great turnout for it. Two really excellent events. And I do want to just throw out a thank you to the Mississippi Mills All My Relations group, and to Mr. Tony Belcourt too, for their leadership and for presenting what I'm sure is going to be two really outstanding events for National Indigenous History Month.
Absolutely. We'll get that link up on our website too. It'll be in the description of this interview when it gets posted shortly after this airs. So we're happy to pass that along. And if people would like to get information, just general information about the 150 or so festivals that you have coming up over the course of the summer, maybe not that many, what's the best resource for that?
If they just hit the Mississippi Mills website, there's links right off of the main page to all of those events and whatnot. If they don't see it, there's a search bar. You can throw it in there to, you know, festivals and events, and it'll take you to the right place too.
Excellent. Krista, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. We really enjoy our visits with you and certainly look forward to the next one.
Great. Well, thanks again for having me, Bob. I really appreciate being here.
Our pleasure. Our guest today on In Focus, the mayor of Mississippi Mills, Krista Lowry. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Bob Perot. Have a wonderful afternoon.